Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Since it's been a moment, I'm going to just recap some. So we'll talk about some of the basics of faith. And if you're saying, you know, Alan, I've heard this before. Here's the beautiful thing about scriptures. If it's real to you, it's not old to you. If it's real to you, you're like, yes, that's good. You have to be real careful when you think, no, I've already heard that. The Bible really works off repetition. And repetition is how we get it in us. Have you ever read a passage and then all of a sudden just comes to life to you? And you're like, I've read this thing 50, 100 times. And all of a sudden I saw something. It's God's word's full of life. And so as we go over this again, just resist the urge to say, I've heard it. And just understand, say, hey, I'm getting something. Hebrews 11:1, God's word translation says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. If faith is being confident of what we expect and convinced of what we do not see. So we've used that as a text, and we begin to talk about Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, a church he had founded, and he is working with them on, and he was concerned about their faith. And so here's what we want to understand. Faith is important. Now, as we talk about that, I don't want you to do this. Do not say, Alan, I just don't have any faith. Now, my wife, she's got faith. She's got the faith in the family. I'm the guy that gets stuff done. She's got the faith. No, actually, faith's available for everyone. And if you don't have faith, guess what? You can get it. But if you're a believer, you already have it. And so it's really a matter of developing what you have and learning and how to strengthen. And so Paul was writing to the church. And this is what he said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is out of the Christian Standard Bible. He said, therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it better to be left in Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Here's this word. To strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith so that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Paul was concerned about this church. He had founded this church. Now, when we talk about founding a church, we talk about planting churches. We've helped plant four churches as our church, as the Ark. We have planted four other churches. But when Paul went to plant churches, there was no First Baptist. There wasn't Assemblies of God. There was none of that. There was First Church of the Heathen, and you had all kinds of pagan idols. And it was, you're walking into darkness. And he goes into darkness. He starts sharing the gospel. There often were a lot of signs and wonders that followed him when he preached. And so people were coming, and they responded. First, he would go to the Jewish synagogues, and he would preach to the Jews because they knew the scriptures. And then eventually they would kick him out, and he would go to the Gentiles. And so he would get these churches established, and he would go. He would stay for a while, then he'd go. But now he's writing, how are they doing? And he said, I just couldn't stand it. You have this sense of, man, I just feel like these are my kids. I understand that to a certain extent as a pastor, that some of you came to Christ under our ministry here. I feel responsible. I feel very fatherly towards you. And on Wednesday night, I can get real fatherly with you. In fact, even grandfatherly at times. But there's the idea that you feel this concern for people. You want to see people do well. You want to see people grow. You hate seeing people fall away. I run into people occasionally out in public, and they'll go, hey, and they'll walk up and go, hey. And I'll go, hey. I'll go, refresh me on your name. Please, when you meet me, if I don't know your name, do not be offended. There's a few thousand of you here. And just help me. But they'll say, hey, yeah, we used to go to your church. Can't tell you how that blesses me. But I've started asking them, oh, where are you going now? And way too many times, they go, oh, man, we got busy and, you know, the kids and the business. And I look at him and go, you're going to hell. No, that's not what I that is not what I do. That's going to keep people a long way away from me now in public. I look at them and I say, hey, you're welcome to come back. You can always come back. We're a be back church. We'll give you a second and third and fourth chance. We'll just come on back. We love you. We realize it have you. So we're not down on you. Shoot, I went away from the Lord for 3 years. I'm the last one who can point a finger at anybody else. Not recently. This is when I was younger. I get this look like, really? Oh, no. Okay. People say, well, who are you accountable to? I'm like, do you know who I'm married to? You have any idea? But the idea is it hurts your heart when people have been going with the Lord and then they go away. And if you've got friends that you have led to the Lord or been part of their life, you know that feeling. And so Paul had this. He's like, how are these guys doing? He said, so we sent Timothy, he said, to strengthen them and encourage them in their faith, which tells us that our faith can be strengthened and encouraged. In fact, you're here on Wednesday night or you're watching on Wednesday night. Here's what should happen. You should leave here with your faith stronger and you should leave encouraged. That's the theory behind this, is that you leave stronger, you leave encouraged. Well, how many of you know that? You come, you worship. What good to hear him sing again. That's a healing testimony. Amen. We're going to have you share that one sometime. Yes, sir. But you should leave here a little bit stronger. You should be like, okay, all right, got something in me. So your faith can be strengthened and encouraged. And Paul said, I want to strengthen your faith and encourage your faith. He said, so that you're not shaken by the things that happen. What happens is when we're stronger in our faith and our trust and our belief, then when things happen, it doesn't stop everything from happening. I think people used to think that, boy, if I just get strong enough faith, then all my problems are going to be over with. No, it doesn't work that way. No, but when your faith is stronger, then the problems that come your way, you're able to handle them so much better. Amen. So in other words, they don't shake you as much as they have. And some of you can say, I've said, this had happened a number of years ago. I don't think I would have come through this as well. But as your faith gets stronger, your ability to handle things. And so Paul is saying, I want to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. Faith is important because faith is not a fixed asset, but can be strengthened. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes as you're hearing God's word. This is why we encourage you to listen to messages. This is why I encourage you to come. This is why we encourage you especially to read the scriptures. And if you can, if in your devotional time, because everybody here at the Ark Church reads the Bible 365, 5 days a week. If you can read it out loud, it actually is better for you. If just read it out loud. You say, well, that's more time. You got time. You got time. Read it out loud, but then you're hearing it. Plus, it helps you focus on it. Sometimes, you ever done that? I've done this. Read a whole chapter, not realized a single thing I just read. So you say, well, what do you do, Alan? I go back and read it again. And sometimes I'll read it two or three times. You say, I don't want to have to read the Bible two or three times. Listen. If you can watch puppies, kitty cats, and people busting themselves on YouTube, then you can read the scriptures one chapter two or three times. Because puppies and kitty cats are cute, but they're not going to strengthen your faith. And this will. Say, well, are you against YouTube? No, I think it's great. Fixed a toilet seat the other day. Thank you, YouTube. YouTube is very helpful for guys like me who don't know how to do anything around the house. Joy was so proud of me. She's like, wow. It's all relative, folks. You do what you can, all right? Here we go. Faith that can be strengthened. Faith is fed by God's word. Faith is exercised as you take action. So again, we're just recounting that faith is exercised as you take action. It's very similar, actually, to physical strength. Physical strength, if you want to get stronger, and you can at any age, if you want to get stronger, you'll have to eat right and exercise. You can't just eat. Just eat. Yeah, I know all. Just eating, you'll get larger, not stronger. But eating and exercise, I mean, that's just kind of common sense. That'll make you stronger. Same thing with your faith. We feed our faith by God's word, and then we exercise with our words and with our actions. Just a little bit on that in just a second. And then faith is visible. We talked about faith, that Jesus saw the faith of the five men in Mark, the second chapter, that Jesus saw their faith in verse 5. Down the vineyard, said, when Jesus saw their faith, these were the guys that cut a hole in the roof and dropped their friend down right in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. He said, but Jesus saw their faith. So in other words, faith can be visible. Jesus heard faith in the centurion, Matthew the 8th chapter. I'm running through quickly because this is recap. But in Matthew the 8th chapter, this was the centurion that came to Jesus, and he just told Jesus, look, he said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. This is pretty good. He said, you don't even have to come. He said, all you got to do is speak the word. He said, if I'm a man under authority, I have soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another one, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus, look, Jesus heard it. He marveled. He's like, whoa. And said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Well, how did he know the guy had great faith? What he said. His words. He said, Jesus, you just speak the word. So we can understand faith by what comes out of our mouth and by our actions. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you never thought about that. It took faith for you to come tonight. For those of you who are here, those of you who are watching online, it took a little bit of faith. But this is the crowd. This is the crowd laughing. I am not laughing at you. But it took a little bit more faith for you to go, no, I'm going to go to church. Some of you are probably tired. Some of you probably had a hard day. I love the people that come up and go, you know, tonight I really didn't want to come, but I'm glad I did. Well, I'm glad you did too. But it took a little bit of faith to get here. It was part of your actions. How many of you, before you knew the Lord, you wouldn't darken the doors of a church, especially on Wednesday night? You're like, what? Wednesday night? Go to church? Oh, why? Why would I do that? Why? Why? But once you know the Lord, you're like, okay. And especially the Wednesday night people, the woo people. I mean, it takes, they just double up. Some of them actually come on Sunday and Wednesday. Ooh. I heard you. I heard you the other Sunday morning. I heard a few woos. I'm like, there they are. The woo people. Okay. Words and actions. God's words are seeds of faith. Now, this is real key, real important. We won't go into it in great detail. Mark 4:14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. Listen, here's the thing. Sometimes you say, well, I need more faith. I need more faith. Can you plant a seed? So a lot of times people think that something is going to come from the outside and just happen, and there's going to be an event, and I'm going to have more faith. Don't try to get something from the outside. Don't try to have some supernatural experience. Just take God's word and begin to plant seeds. Yes. So, and here's the deal. Different seeds, now we know this. If you're planting a garden, you might have a row of tomatoes and a row of corn and a row of cucumbers. You have different rows, different seeds produce different fruit. When Joy was sick, and just very sick, she had acute chronic pancreatitis. It was bad. But she would get up every morning, and she had a scriptures. She had them on 3x5 cards. She put a ring in them, and every morning she's going through those scriptures. You say, well, come on, Al, what is she doing? That's weird. No, it's not weird if you understand that by planting seeds, she's increasing and strengthening her faith. And so she would do that every morning, every morning, every morning. And she just kept doing it and kept doing it. And the beautiful thing about it is her faith began to grow. And when the doctors are looking at her going, there's nothing we can do, God did something. Yeah. And she's healed and well. And so her life was extended because at some point we thought we were going to lose her. And so she recognized the value of simply planting seeds. You say, well, I'm doing good. I'm healthy. I'm healthy as a horse. I'm great. Well, do you need something in another area? Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe you need help learning how to walk in love. It's amazing TV audience, how quiet this group can get. They're as quiet as you when I talk about walking in love. A lot of times people say, I need God to fix my marriage. I got news for you. You're not going to like it. When he's fixing your marriage, he may start with you. I got one woo over there. That's it. That's it. One woo. That's one. I have prayed, Lord, fix joy. Duh. That is not a good prayer. Because as soon as you start that one, the Lord's going to talk to you about what you can do. And marriages can get fixed. And if you have two people praying, Lord, fix them, that's good, but here's a better one. Show me what I need to do. Yes. And I promise you, if you have two people honestly praying, Lord, show me what we need to do to make this marriage work, I promise you it will work. It takes two. You say, well, my spouse is not into this. Well, you can pray for them. And while you're praying for them, ask the Lord to show you what you can do. That doesn't always go over well. I think people would prefer if God would sprinkle some foo-foo dust. And everyone is like Joe and I woke up one day, he's like, wow, heavenly foo-foo dust has been sprinkled on us. And now our marriage is perfect. No, it grew. The seed planting is a principle in God's word that if you won't let it go, it will bless your life. We have a tendency to want things to happen fast. We want to change fast. We want things to develop fast. But if you're willing to simply plant seeds and stay with it, there can be a serious harvest come, and it can absolutely bless your life. So what seeds do you need? You need wisdom? Do you need strength? Do you need, again, love walk? Joy used to have the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. She had that all over the house. I'd open the cabinet. There's 1 Corinthians 4 through 8. I would look in the bathroom. There's 1 Corinthians 4. It was on the mirror, 1 Corinthians 4 through 8. I finally said, what are you doing? You got 1 Corinthians 4. She said, I need this. She said, I need this to live with you. I need a reminder of 1 Corinthians 4 through 8. This is why I have hope for marriages, guys, because ours wasn't good, but it's real good now. You say, well, after 43 years, it ought to be good. Well, I know some that after 43 years, they fall apart. And so you can continue to say, well, I need to build my marriage. If you plant seeds in your life, it will go towards building your marriage. That wasn't even in my notes tonight. That was free. But the seed planting is so key. We talked about the contrast of faith and unbelief, and I want to show you that. I'm going to need to jump into this. So if you'll work with me, guys in the media department, I appreciate them. God, I want to go through the story and kind of give us a picture of what faith looks like and what it doesn't look like. But you want to see what it is, how to recognize it. And the reason for it, I need to know when I'm actually operating in faith and when I'm not. So in the very famous chapter of the nation of Israel coming up to the promised land, they've been delivered out of Egypt, and God sends them into the promised land, Numbers the 13th chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one of them, a leader among them. So God is speaking to Moses. He said, I'm giving you this land. So send guys in to spy out the land. He didn't say, I'm thinking about it, or, hey, this is land. He said, I'm giving it to you. So on the basis of that, they go into the land, and the principle is to find out how beautiful the land was, come back, help the people get excited about it. But when they came back, people weren't so excited. They brought back word. Numbers, the 13th chapter. Guys, if you can skip down to that, Numbers 13, 25, and 29. So the spies went in, and they came back, And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. This is the promised land. This is what they've been shooting for ever since they got out of Egypt. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." So the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and then the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Is that it? We good? They brought back word, but it's interesting how they labeled it. They never said this. They never said, we went to spy out the land God's giving us. It's interesting on how people label things. If you label something as I've got this problem and we'll never get it fixed, it's insurmountable. That's a bad label. You're already beginning to limit yourself with that. I have people come and maybe they're talking to me at the time, and they'll go, "Well, your church..." When they say your church, that tells me it's not their church. Just simply by how they labeled it. When they came back and said, "We went to the land that you sent us," they could have said, "Oh man, we went to the land that God has given us. It's beautiful. It's wonderful." It's not what they said. And so they brought back word. They acknowledged the land was good. There was milk and honey that God had said it. He said, "Nevertheless, there's a problem. There's a problem with us taking the land." Let's look at this last verse, and we'll have to close with this. So they begin to talk about all the people are waiting to hear what they had to say. These guys are all leaders, all people that they look up to. They come back and say, "Man, they got Amalekites and Jebusites and Canaanites. All these ites are in the land, and there's all of them." Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And we saw all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." There's a contrast here between what Caleb is saying and what these other guys are saying. Remember, we said that faith is revealed two ways. It's revealed in our actions and what? Words. In our words. What do they say? Caleb says, "Let's go get it. We're well able to do it. We can do this. We can do this." He said, well, Caleb was a positive thinker. He may have been a positive thinker, but the bottom line is Caleb was saying that based on what God had already said. God had said, "I'm giving you the land." Caleb said, "Great, let's go get it." But the other guys are saying, "We can't. There's giants there. They're too strong for us. We can't do this. We're small." So why are you even going through this? Because you have to be careful about how you talk about things. When you hit a problem, you really have a choice. You have a choice. You can go, "Oof, don't think if in my house if we deal with problems, don't think we stand up and go, praise God, we'll do this." What I've learned to do is first be quiet, not react. Not go, "Oh my God, we're going to die. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do?" One of the best things you can do when you face a problem is be quiet. But then when you begin to talk, don't act like God's not with you. See, a lot of times people are talking and they're talking like, we got this situation. They never even mention God. When you hit a hard time, what are you going to say about it? One of the best things you can say is, "The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us." Joy and I had this challenge with one of her relatives, not mine, hers. And I remember she was just frustrated. And she told me, she said, I said, well, honey, I said, we're going to have to trust God in this. And she said, I don't know how to trust. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I just stayed quiet for a little bit. Then I came back to her and I said, hey, look, the Bible said in scriptures in Hebrews that we can boldly say, well, he said he would never leave us or forsake us, right? So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me? I said, if you don't know what to say, instead of saying, oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. I just can't believe. Before you do that, catch yourself. And just begin to say, thank you, Lord, that you are my helper. And you will help me in this situation. You say, well, come on, Alan, that can't make a difference. Oh, yeah, it can. It can make a huge difference. You ever got on a problem, just talked it and talked it and talked it till you might have been having a decent day, but by the time you wind up talking that problem, you feel down. Joy and I we had a date one time. You heard me tell the date story. We'd been going to, we went to Papacito's. We'd been going to, what's that?
Ponchos.
Thank you. Ponchos. I'm just going to number my stories and save some time. Ponchos. So we were going to Papacito's. We're like, ooh, this is good. Because Ponchos has good sopapillas and it stops right there. That's it. But we're going to Papacito's. And we just gotten a bad report about one of our children. We got in the car. We started talking about it. And we talked about it. We talked about it. We talked about it. We talked about it. Talk about ruining a meal. And I love Papacito's. They used to have that green sauce. But they, for some reason, you have to ask for it now. We didn't like the green sauce. The enchiladas weren't good. Nothing was good. Because we had talked that problem. Listen to me, please. You got a God. God's with you just as much as he's with me. I'm going to say that again because it didn't register too well. That would have been a woo time. God is with you just as much as he's with me. Thank you. You're a little late, but that was better than nothing, okay? So, but here's the thing. Let's don't talk like he's not in our life. Let's don't talk like people that don't know him. He's in us. He will help us. He loves us. We're his children. Will you help your children? If your children came to you, little ones came to you and said, Daddy, I tore the head off my G.I. Joe. Would you go, well, tough luck? No, a good parent's going to go, well, come here, darling, let me fix it. You know, it's trauma for them. We can fix the G.I. Joe head. Poof, pop that head right back on. You're a miracle worker. How much greater is our Heavenly Father?
Amen.
When we go to him and say, Father, I need help. I need help. So I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't know what to do. Well, didn't do this. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Therefore, we can boldly say. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. So we can boldly say. Say. So that's just words. It's just words. Your words are powerful. Jesus heard words and said there's faith right there. What's coming out of our mouth? Let's give the Lord something to work with. Oh my God is not something he can work with. Thank you, God, is something he can work with. Help me. Thank you, Lord. You are my helper is something. Is this, are you following me on this? This, I'm telling you. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. Then be quiet. Just be quiet. Because you don't, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You don't need death pouring out of your mouth. If you have an argument with your spouse, it's not the time to look at them and go, I don't know why I married you. I have no stinking idea why I married you. I don't know why we did this. That's not helping you. So just don't say anything. Just look at him and go, bless you. Bless you. You You say, well, that's stupid. No, that's marriage enhancement. Because how many people have dropped a bomb with their mouth and then you can't get it back? I'm back. We're back. Guys, this is where we live. Joy and I had a disagreement driving to church. I know you think I live with the second coming of Mother Teresa. But we had an argument coming to church. But here's what happens now. We go quiet. We realize we're in a disagreement, and we go quiet. And then she looks at me and goes, you love me. I went, yes, but don't touch me. Just don't touch me. If you just go quiet, you can, you know, this is the marriage seminar right here. If you just go quiet, you can save yourself untold problems. And then when you do talk, talk like God's helping you. Yes. Lord, thank you. You are helping us. All right, y'all listen so good. You bow your heads for a moment. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you're hearing this and you're like, oh, man, this is different. This is new. I don't even know where I stand with God. Or maybe you're like I was. Maybe you had a time where you came to the Lord and just... And then you, for some reason, life happened. You fell away, you're not with him now, and you know that. He knows that. But you're here, or you're watching. This is a good time. Maybe this is the time to make that commitment and say, Lord, I want to commit to you. Or, Lord, I know I need you in my life. So we're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up, not going to have you come down to the front. But for you, faith is in words, but it's in actions. For you, for your benefit. If you're here and you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, or Alan, I know I need to come back to the Lord. I want to be a part of this prayer. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quick just to cross this auditorium. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Gotcha. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I see you way in the back. Gotcha. Wonderful. Thanks. You can put your hands down. It takes a lot of courage. Thank you for doing that. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you're thinking, I missed it. You still have a chance. This is a heart prayer. So you can pray this prayer with us. Remember, faith is in words and in action. We're going to pray. I'll lead you in it. We're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're watching online, you can pray this out loud. If you're by yourself, if you're with others, pray it quietly. But pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who have come to you, and for those who have come back. We rejoice with them. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to strengthen them and encourage them in their faith as we stand with them as a church. We're grateful for all you're doing. Thank you that we're growing. Thank you we're getting stronger. Thank you you're making a difference in our life and in our faith. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.